Hello and welcome to the Carry On Bags Only podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey. Today's episode features a guest who's gone on some pretty epic adventures, such as hiking into a volcanic crater in Iceland, taking a helicopter ride over New Zealand, and falling out of a raft into the fast-moving rapids on a Lord of the Rings excursion. Justin shares how a positive mindset can go a long way when travel doesn't go as planned, and what he did to overcome some of his own fears and doubts so that he could set out to see the world. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Justin, welcome to the Carry On Bags Only podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Justin and I have bonded over craft beers and travel. And throughout the years, we've actually unintentionally inspired each other. We've been sharing our travel stories with one another. And the thing that I really like about Justin is that he's embraced solo travel, much like myself. And I thought that he would be such a great guest to have on the show today to talk about some of his travel experiences. So, Justin, what was the first trip that you ever did?
Well, I think the first solo trip that I did, I would have been about 25. I remember having a job. Finally, I was out of university. I had a full-time job. And it occurred to me that, hey, I can go somewhere. I can do something. And I ended up booking a trip to Cuba. I remember the most important thing was it was cheap. I think I paid like $700 for a week. It was the middle of July, so it was stupid hot. And the hotel was very bare bones, but I remember thinking there like, hey, I'm doing it. I'm on my own. And, you know, I remember I was very self-conscious. I was worried about doing the wrong thing or, you know, not traveling properly. If that makes sense, I don't know. I was very inexperienced and I wasn't very adventurous when it came to, you know, leaving the bounds of the hotel or anything like that. But I do remember that that trip as the first time kind of striking out on my own and kind of exploring. And it was great.
So how many trips would you say you've done since then?
Probably about a half dozen, maybe every 2 years or so, I'll find somewhere. And it's not always alone. I've traveled with friends or with family as well. But certainly, being on my own and going to kind of some far-flung places has been definitely the highlight of my experience. And it's usually circumstantial as far as, you know, wanting to go somewhere and either not having friends or family that want to or are able to travel. And so I kind of felt like, you know, hey, if I don't do this now while I have the freedom and the opportunity to kind of go out and see the world, then I'm going to regret it later. So I might as well just go. And if I wait around for the right time or for other people to be interested, it might never happen. So that's really kind of the genesis of you know, how I started kind of traveling.
That's awesome. And it's so cool because there's so many people that I've talked to recently, and it was the same thing. It was always that we couldn't find somebody to go with, you know, the timing didn't work out. And for a lot of my travels previously, like I held off on doing a bunch of trips because I never had anyone to go with. And I think within the last couple of years, it finally was like, you know what, I'm going to do this and embrace it. And I actually realized that I love solo travel and I really enjoy the experience of it. So I think that's cool that, you know, you set out and did Cuba as your first trip. And that was kind of the catalyst to get you into doing more of that.
Yeah. What I like about it too, is that you don't have to compromise on your itinerary. You don't have to justify anything to everyone. You know, like if I want to go to the infamous penis museum in Iceland, I don't have to explain that to anybody. I can just go. You know, I don't have to convince anyone. And, you know, kind of reveling in that, but also having that kind of, if you don't want to do something, you don't have to.
Yes.
And certainly not having to rely on anybody else is a great feeling.
So you brought up Iceland. So you went there and you went there a couple years ago, right? And so tell me about how that kind of came to be.
Well, that one, it's somewhere that I have always wanted to go. And I've always had an interest in that kind of dangerous geography. And, you know, you've got a place where tectonic plates are smashing together and you've got these really mythic features of the landscape, like volcanoes and glaciers and, you know, icebergs and geysers. And it's just that kind of landscape always fascinated me. So once I started traveling, that was always on my hit list. You can do Reykjavik, the capital city, in a day or two. And I know a lot of people do go for the weekend or as a stopover. But I had a lot of little day trips that I wanted to do. So I ended up going for maybe 5 or 6 days. And I just stayed in this pod hotel, this little hostel outside of Reykjavik, and did a bunch of day trips. It was great. I loved it. I had a lot that I wanted to get to. I managed to see a whole bunch of things. And I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone in a few things and really took advantage. I did one excursion where we hiked, I think it was 5 kilometers each way, and then descended 400 feet into a volcanic crater that was now dormant, but still kind of, you know, active underneath. It was one of those things where physically I wasn't sure if I could do that hike, certainly not, you know, an athletic person. So the prospect of, you know, hiking 10 kilometers and going down inside a volcanic crater is a little daunting, but when am I going to have that experience again? And when am I going to get that opportunity? So I knew I had to push myself and go for it and, you know, come what may. So I strapped on the hiking boots and I made it down there, and it was just incredible, you know, being in this really otherworldly place, you know, taking this old mining elevator down to the bottom of this volcano and just kind of being there and appreciating the scale of what's around you. Definitely glad I did that. And one of the things that has, you know, made me appreciate some of the opportunities, as I said, that kind of traveling can inspire you to do.
Yeah. And so you kind of mentioned that you had a bunch of things that you wanted to do and you had an itinerary. So what kind of planning did you do for this?
I'm a planner, definitely. You know, I had a whole bunch of spreadsheets and each day broken down into chunks and trying to see how much I could squeeze into every little thing and, you know, how long is it going to take me to get around? And I had to become comfortable with not doing everything on my list. And I think that's something I learned, definitely as I travel more, is to just kind of be okay with that and to allow yourself that freedom to, like, okay, I don't necessarily have to do everything, but if I can do 3 of these 5 things while I'm here, then I'll consider it a win and leave more to explore another day. Because you also don't want to overburden yourself by saying, because I've done that too, where I've tried to overplan and say, okay, I've got 20 minutes to get from here to here and then I can do this. And at no point do you actually get to stop and enjoy where you are, because you're always thinking about, okay, I've got 30 minutes before I have to leave this museum, you know, and that's not the way that you want to take in that culture. So definitely having to kind of scale down my own ambitions when it comes to traveling and sightseeing, and also making sure that you give yourself time to enjoy it and be in the moment and really let your surroundings breathe. You know, if that makes sense, like really just making sure that I'm not overloading myself and that I'm giving myself time.
One of the fun things I think about traveling is the initial planning portion of it, getting that excitement and, you know, having the countdown to the days of when you're going to go on your trip. It's just so much fun to be able to map out and, you know, kind of choose your own adventure for yourself. That's a really great point that you make about having that flexibility to know that, hey, I'm probably not going to hit everything on this plan, and just being a little bit open to that and taking in those experiences as they come, but still having somewhat of a plan so that, you know, when you get there, you have an idea of of kind of the things that you want to do. So
yeah, I definitely can't go in blind. I need to know what I'm doing. And I've got, you know, various folders bookmarked on my computer with, you know, a ton of different sites for different places, depending on where I go, you know, things to see and look up. And that is, like you said, that's half the fun of those initial stages, is just kind of looking to see what's out there. But it also leaves room for exploring.
Yes.
And getting into situations that you don't necessarily plan, or little happy accidents. I think I've told you before, when I was walking around downtown Iceland and I happened to see a poster on a billboard for Viking photo portraits. And it turned out there was a studio around the corner, and I was able to call them up and book an impromptu photo shoot for the next day. And, you know, I went there and got all decked out in chainmail and armor and those, you know, swords and shields, and something I hadn't planned on, but definitely an amazing souvenir of that trip. I now have these high resolution photos of me decked out like I'm on Vikings or Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah. The pictures were incredible, because I remember you printing a couple of them off and giving them to us. And
that's right.
It was just such a cool, like you said, a cool souvenir that you got to take away and share with other people, and be able to have that story where people are like, what is this? Whatever, you know, I wouldn't even have known that it was in Iceland that you had done that. Mm-hmm. And so now you have this incredible story that you can kind of tell with this picture that you had. And it makes me laugh, because I remember going on a girls' trip with two of my friends to Scotland after I did an adventure race, but then we met up and had a girls' trip after. And again, it was nice because I couldn't get anybody to commit to do this trip with me that was like the adventure side of it, but I was able to build a little mini trip around that. So we were able to catch up. And so we went to Edinburgh and went over to see the castle. And we also saw that they were advertising that you could get your portraits done in all of the gear. So we were like, let's do this. So we just popped in, awesome. Got our pictures done, and I have them somewhere. I should dig them up. But it was just such a fun experience, because we didn't have it planned, and it just was such a fun story after. And we had the pictures to kind of take home with us as a reminder of the fun we had on that trip. So
That's something that I picked up on from you as well, is the idea that a trip doesn't necessarily have to be this week or 2 week long excursion with, you know, every second planned out. It can be a tactical strike. It can be, you know, I know that you've taken a lot of, you know, quick 2-3 day jaunts to different places and just kind of flew by the seat of your pants, or had maybe one thing that you wanted to do or to see on each of those little mini trips. And that's something I hadn't really considered before, but I've tried to start doing as well. And that, like, oh, it doesn't have to be this massive investment of time or money or energy. It can just be a quick little energy, you know, refresher.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it was funny because it was never on my radar or something to do. And I think with, you know, we get busy and, you know, we let work kind of take over our schedules. And I just really needed that outlet. And I really realized how important it was to me to have those adventures and have something to look forward to and to plan. And I think it's just something that naturally I just started to get into. And I'm happy to hear that I was able to kind of rub off on you and have you kind of pick that up and be able to do that too, because my whole kind of point of the podcast is to really encourage people to embrace travel, even if it's locally. You know, there is just so much, you know, around us, even locally, that we can check out. So,
and there's something magical about the logistics of traveling, you know, whether it's a, you know, you're in a plane or a train or just on a road trip, you're getting in this little metal tube that maybe shouldn't work. And then all of a sudden a couple hours pass and you're in a completely new environment and way out of your normal context. And there's something almost magical about that sense of transportation and going through the airport and checking your bags and all of that kind of terrible inconvenience and that, I don't know, the actual mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, that moment of stepping outside and realizing like, oh, I'm somewhere totally different.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't know about you, but I get really bad anxiety for having to get prepared to go to an airport. Like, it's just like, did I forget something? And just the whole motion of going through security and doing everything. But again, just, I think that excitement that you have when you get to, you know, close out of work and head to the airport, it's just like adrenaline with anxiety, but it's so fun. And it's just anticipating, you know, the adventure that's ahead of you. So,
and the possibilities.
Yeah.
You know,
just having, I think just having an open mind, and again, back to your point of, you know, you can still do your planning and have, you know, an itinerary, but just still be open to other things that come along the way. And with traveling, it's, you have to kind of learn, you know, whether you're with other people or on your own, you just kind of learn about yourself and how you operate in certain situations, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, things get thrown at you that you're not used to. And it's easy to let things discourage you and be like, oh, that was terrible. And I don't want that to happen again. But right. It's just letting those positive experiences hopefully outweigh any negatives that, you know, might come along the way. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, which I think is really cool, is that you've been able to really design some of your trips around some of your passions and things that you love. So I know one of the trips that you did was down to New Zealand because you really wanted to go and see kind of where the Hobbit all was and all of that. And I remember you telling me about that trip and some of the cool experiences you had and the people you met. So do you want to tell me a little bit more about that trip in particular?
So about 2 years ago, if I could backtrack even further, I remember being in the theaters watching the first Lord of the Rings movie back in what was probably 2001, and just being in awe of the imagery and the landscapes on screen, and thinking to myself in that theater seat, like, I have to go there. And it took me a little while, but about, you know, 15 years almost to the day of that third movie coming out, I was getting on a plane to make that dream a reality. It was a real true bucket list experience for me. And I, you know, I had done a lot of research and a lot of planning, and eventually found a tour group that operates there called Red Carpet Tours. It was really a premier experience where, you know, for 2 weeks, they take you all around the North and South Island and stop at all of the filming locations for the various Lord of the Rings and Hobbit movies, and you stay in the same hotels as the actors, and you eat at their favorite restaurants, and it's really indulgent from a geek perspective and a fan of not only the, you know, the filmmaking process, but of Tolkien in general. It really ticked all the boxes, and I felt, you know, I could go on my own and I could kind of go to some of these places on my own on a much smaller scale. But I figured if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to fly halfway around the world, I want to do it right. So I, you know, can't recommend this this tour outfit highly enough. It was just so magical. But talking, you know, we were just discussing, you know, some of the headaches involved with flying. And I certainly didn't have an easy trip there. I was supposed to connect in LAX. And I remember being on the flight and watching the plane start circling the Grand Canyon. And I'm thinking, well, okay, something's wrong here. And turns out the airport had flooded and we had to make an emergency landing in Las Vegas. You know, here I am, you know, my first time really having to make a connecting flight. And suddenly that's not going to happen. And oh God, what if I miss this tour? And you know, because that certainly I saved up 2 years to afford it. And this is, I remember having a real pity party and a full-blown panic attack sitting on that tarmac in Las Vegas and thinking about it. But we eventually did get to LA and had missed our flight, but there were some seats available on another plane going there. And I ran across the terminals and, you know, managed to get a seat on that plane. And I made it there. Unfortunately, my luggage did not.
Oh, no.
So, you know, talk about minimalist traveling. I suddenly was down to what I had in my carry-on and what I could pick up from some of the department stores locally. But I remember I made it on time, and I, you know, I was able to go on the tour. And I think that second day we went to visit the village of Hobbiton, with all the little hobbit houses and everything from the movies, and just being amazed by the magic of the place. And all of a sudden, all of that terrestrial stuff, all of that anxiety and that knot in my stomach just kind of, you know, gave way to just pure pleasure and imagination and just the glory of kind of being totally surrounded by this place that I'd only seen on screen. And, you know, it ended up being an incredible trip. There were, you know, 30 like-minded nerds all sitting on a coach bus driving around, you know, quoting our favorite movies. And, you know, they were very good about having a bag of props with, you know, toy swords and cloaks, and they made sure everyone got to stand in the spot and take their photo, you know, to match the scenes in the movies. And there were enough other sightseeing activities that the husband and wives that were dragged along with the rest of us were able to have a good time too. And it was just a massive, fun, crazy trip where, again, I started doing things that I had no right or experience to be doing, but pushing myself to experience some of these things, such as, you know, we took a kayak down the Pelorus River in the South Island, which is where they filmed the barrel riding scenes in the Hobbit movies. And I'd never kayaked before, but I get into this little boat, and they had paired me up with someone who weighed about 15 pounds, and I'm a much bigger guy, and immediately flipped the thing and went into the water, and I had to be fished out downriver. And, you know, I had smashed into all these rocks under the surface of the rapids and found it hard to sit down on the bus for a few days. But hey, you know, once I got back onto shore, I got right back in the boat and continued and spent a lovely hour and a half just kind of cruising down the river with the rest of the group. And it was just, again, one of those things that, you know, you have to put yourself out there and try it, even if you get hurt or you immediately flip the boat. And it's, you know, it was still a blast and something that I'll always fondly look back on. You know, we did a lot during that trip. We would meet, you know, one of the actors from the films. And I remember we took a helicopter up into the mountains where they filmed some things, and just one crazy thing after another that I just couldn't be happier with. So yeah, definitely a real amazing experience for a film junkie and a Lord of the Rings fan.
Yeah, that's an epic bucket list.
Yeah.
Taking a helicopter, getting inside of a raft, you know, like that's pretty incredible. And like you said, with all of the things leading up to that, with things kind of going wrong with the travel plans, that didn't affect your ability to have a good time, that you're able to kind of switch to that positive mindset and know why you were heading over that way, and just, you know, being able to open your mind to some of these new experiences.
You know, one of the things that surprised me about that trip was that I thought I was traveling solo.
Yes.
You know, this was something that I had done on my own. And based on previous experiences, I figured I'd have a lot of alone time, you know, so I brought books and I'd brought other things that didn't touch them at all. I ended up never having a minute to myself because our tour group became such fast friends. And I think it speaks to what you said earlier. It's having that shared passion for something immediately knocked down some of the barriers that might have been there, because it takes a certain kind of person to fly halfway around the world to you know, go on a Lord of the Rings themed tour. I remember at one point, one of my friends on the trip made a really obscure reference to some line in Jurassic Park. And I chimed in with the next, you know, line of dialogue. And I remember we just looked at each other and laughed, because it's like, oh, these are my people. You know, like we get each other, and we're still to this day very close. We have, you know, we've had trips to see each other, and we have weekly Zoom video conference chats and just stay in touch. And, you know, one thing I certainly didn't expect on that trip was to form a lot of real, you know, lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Whereas other tours that I've done before, certainly you meet people and you socialize or have dinner with certain people that you meet on these trips. But you know, I don't stay in touch with any of them. So it was a real, real bonding experience for us.
Yeah. I think that's such a great, you know, point to make too, because I think a lot of people don't realize some of the friendships that come out of these trips. And it's cool because, you know, you and I maybe have different interests, but when I was doing my adventure racing, I made amazing connections with people at that. And to hear that you did this trip, again, something you're passionate about and these friendships that come out of it. And it's, you would have no idea, you know, like you, that wasn't the intention of the trip. You wanted to go and, you know, knock off this bucket list item. And then you turn around and come out of it with a bunch of friends that you get to get on Zoom calls with and plan, you know, future adventures with. And I think that's such an incredible, you know, point that you've made to hopefully inspire other people to look at their passions and see how, you know, how you can incorporate travel and be able to do some of those things that you love.
Absolutely. We had planned a kind of mini reunion tour for the summer of 2020, which unfortunately didn't happen due to the pandemic, but you know, we're hopefully next summer going to be able to do that. And one of the couples from our tour group have invited us to come visit them in Copenhagen, you know, an opportunity that I wouldn't have even considered really beforehand. Now to get the chance to have them show off their town. And I just can't wait. I think it's going to be amazing. But again, yeah, would never have had that opportunity if not for making these friends.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. And one other thing that I wanted to share was, you know, how we've been able to bond, like I said, you know, talking about our travel stories. But I remember, you know, just in passing, we went for lunch and I was telling you about how my family, you know, will meet once a year and do a run somewhere in the world. And you remembered that. And I remember you got an out of office reply sent to you from somebody that had stated that they were out of the office running the seven continents, or I think they were running the seventh continent at this point, the last and final one, with their daughter. And then in the out of office reply, they actually wrote every single continent that they had ran. It was honestly probably one of the most epic out of offices I've ever seen. Yeah. It was a really cool story that really inspired me. And I remember saving it. And to this day, it is still saved in my email. And I would go back and look at it thinking, this is cool. And I remember forwarding it off to, you know, other people that I knew that ran and, you know, people in my family saying like, oh, this would be so cool to do. And again, I was just like, you know, I don't want to wait for other people to do this. I want to make this my goal. And I remember, I think it was in 2019, you had just come back from a trip and I had just come back from Ireland and we were kind of talking about like, you know, what's next. And I remember feeling like slight sadness at the end of the year because that was truly the last trip I could do in 2019 because I had maxed out my vacation. I had also, you know, maxed out my budget that I had to be able to go on these trips. In hindsight, looking back, I'm so grateful I did all of those trips knowing that I, you know, completely couldn't travel in 2020. Yeah. But I remember you asking me like, what's your next goal? And feeling a bit sad thinking, oh, I don't know. And then you brought that up. You're like, why don't you make the seven continents running that part of your goal? And I thought, yeah, like,
well, and it came from such a mundane thing as an out of office message, because who would have thought, you know, that could inspire somebody. But I remember reading it and saying like, oh my God, how crazy, how ambitious, how amazing is this, that this gentleman and his daughter have been able to kind of do this together and really make that, you know, the center of their goals. And I just remember thinking of you immediately saying like, look, have you seen this? Yeah, it's just, it's funny what crosses your path and what can really inspire a passion. I don't remember exactly what it was that got me into traveling, other than that sense, as you said, of, hey, if I don't go now while I have the opportunity and the, you know, the freedom to be able to do it, I'm going to regret missing out on this part of life. And I also know that that's a privilege too, being able to have the, you know, the freedom and the finances or the time off work or whatever else to be able to go and do that.
Yeah.
And I always try to keep that front and center when I do travel, and not to take it for granted, and to recognize that, you know, not everybody has that ability.
Totally. And I think that's a really great thing to point out. And I know even for me, some of the travel that I've had, I didn't have, you know, the budget set aside to do it at that time. But I always kind of, somebody had given me this advice that you'll make it work. Like you'll figure out ways, whether you know, maybe don't go out so much and you put some of that money aside to be able to go on a trip. And I know, there was a person that I came across that, they would do 50-50, they'd buy 50-50 tickets. And then from anytime they won, that would go into their fund for their travel. And I just think that's cool. Like you find different ways of how you can kind of save that money and make it your goal and be able to do it. And, I just think that it's for sure something that is a privilege, but there is, like, if you are passionate about it, like you can find ways to make travel be part of your life.
Absolutely. Another thing that I've thought about too is my, you know, my ability as, you know, a straight white male to be able to go into some of these places, and not that I've been to, you know, many countries at this point, but putting myself in situations where I feel safe is not necessarily as easy for everyone to do that. We talk about solo traveling. You know, I had taken a trip to Greece in 2015 on my own, and that happened to be part, I remember it coincided with the Greek debt crisis.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And my last night in Athens actually happened to coincide with the vote on a euro bailout. And I remember I wanted to know what was happening. So I left my hotel and I walked down to the Constitution Square, and I became part of this giant rally against the austerity measures. And I remember thinking at the time, like, this, first of all, this is fascinating to be part of this global movement, and just being caught up in that sea of people and, you know, for a particular cause that was hurting people. I remember there were lineups at ATMs, and the government had strict regulations about how much money citizens could take out, but at the same time, they're encouraging tourists to feed back into that local economy. So again, being in a privileged position in this country, but I do, you know, getting back to my point, I remember thinking like, oh, if this goes wrong, if this turns violent, what am I going to do? I am in a country where I, you know, I don't speak the language necessarily, aside from a few words from a guidebook, or, you know, I'm on my own technically. Sure, there's a tour group that may know. There are people who know what the hotel I'm staying at. I, you know, left those instructions, but and everything was fine, you know, I should say. But I do remember having that thought.
And yeah. That,
you know, what if? So certainly you want to explore, and you want to give yourself that freedom of really getting into another culture and being part of these moments and these things that come up and putting yourself out there and getting out of your comfort zone. But you also, I think, can't ignore the realities of just being on your own in another place and having to keep safety and security in mind as you put yourself out there and as you do those things. So certainly, you know, it's not always a carefree experience. You want to make sure that you're covering your bases when it comes to your own personal well-being as well as your mental well-being.
Yeah, I think it's important to look into all aspects of that for sure. And in one of my other episodes that I have, my friend actually decided to take a self-defense class to help her feel a lot more safe when she was traveling. So there's definitely things that you can do, you know, whether it's, you know, getting educated on where you're going and finding some of those resources, or just doing whatever you need to do to make sure that you feel safe. And, you know, it's not always the same for everyone, but there's definitely things out there and resources available to take advantage of.
Yeah, certainly.
So before we end the episode, would you be interested in doing some rapid fire travel questions?
Sure, lay it on me.
All right. Okay. So one of the questions is, do you recline your seat when you are on an airplane?
No, actually, I tend not to. And it's more for selfish reasons because I tend to read on the plane.
Yeah.
I always have my book reader, like my Kindle with me. And I like to be sitting straight up when I'm reading. So I don't tend to recline my seat.
That's hilarious. That's like the opposite of, I think most people are like, for selfish reasons, I want to recline my seat so it's more comfortable. So, okay, then on the flip side, do you care if somebody else reclines their seat in front of you?
Not usually, unless, you know, they're serving a meal, in which case I need room to put that tray down.
Yeah.
So yeah, in that case, you try to like push it back up, but, but generally, no, I don't begrudge people their comfort.
That's awesome. You sound like a pretty good traveler to go along with. Okay. So the next question is, what celebrity would you want to be stranded on an island with?
Well, I guess it depends on the island. Like if it was Jurassic Park, I would want Sam Neill there to show me the way. But no, I think, you know, like your typical desert, someone like David Attenborough would be really cool.
Yeah.
To kind of, you know, to have lived the life he's lived over what he, I think he's 92 or something now. And just to be able to listen to his stories and some of the things he's done. Plus, I think the guy deserves a break.
Yeah.
He could use a few days on an island with his feet up and maybe drinking out of a coconut. I think that would be fun. He's earned it.
Have you ever traveled carry-on bags only?
Yes. But well, aside from the aforementioned New Zealand thing, which certainly gave me, a greater respect for minimalist travel. I've done it for work. If I'm flying somewhere for a couple meetings or, you know, a conference or what have you, but I won't claim to be a minimalist packer. I generally have my backpack with me and then, just a regular suitcase. It doesn't help that I'm a bigger guy. So my clothes take up more room. So I definitely find just being with a carry-on, I'm not that confident yet, but I'll get there someday, Kelsey.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, so that kind of leads into the next question. So what item is kind of the necessity that we would always find in your carry-on bag?
You know what? Actually, the one thing I always bring with me is my little portable charging bank. You know,
that's a good one.
I have one. It's about the same size as my phone, and I think it can hold like 2.5 charges. So between, you know, my phone and my Kindle or the Fitbit or anything else you've got, you know, we all are covered in electronics all the time now. Being able to recharge my phone on the go, especially if you're taking a lot of photos, is just really handy. Being able to kind of throw it in your backpack and let it recharge while you're on your way to the next destination is great. So that's something I would definitely recommend. And I think they're like $30 or $40. So certainly an inexpensive, but invaluable item.
It's a good one. All right. The last question is, what is going to be your next trip?
Well, fingers crossed, I'll be able to go to Copenhagen next summer and reunite with some of my friends from the New Zealand trip. Beyond that, I don't know. You know, sitting at home for the last 12 months, I think I've just been, dreaming up different vacation spots. But who knows? Like Mars, that seems to be the new frontier now. Like, let's do it. I'm in.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm really excited to see some of the other adventures that you're going to do in the future. But I do think it is so valuable to hear your experiences and just to hear that you were able to travel and not let anything hold you back and that you were very open-minded to trying new things. And I think that's really cool. So I'm really excited to see the next trips that you do.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Carry On Bags Only podcast. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep calm and carry on.